You already know it's another episode, everybody. We're back. It's your guys. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Last episode, we covered a lot. Today, we uncover a lot more. We got, you know, the game that happened Thursday night. We got some trades. We got our top five picks of the week. Let's get into it. Go ahead, Ollie.
You said the key word, trades. Big news this week. A few moves made by the Rams. The first was they sent Marcus Peters to the Ravens, and I think everyone knew what was coming next. The biggest move of the season so far, they land Jalen Ramsey, arguably one of the best cornerbacks in the league. One of the best cornerbacks doing it right now in terms of shutting the opposition down. They go and get Jalen Ramsey. They gave up some things, you know, the first round picks. I think all in all, I mean, once you get a player of that caliber, you know, you don't lose. You know, it's not a trade that you lost. But, I mean, on the other hand, for Jacksonville, I still don't think they got enough. I mean, I know they got two first-rounders. They got a fourth-rounder. But it's Jalen Ramsey. You know, I don't think he's Khalil Mack three first-round picks worthy. But I still think that you can get some more from him, you know, for him. You know, I think that you could have threw a play in there. You need linemen. You know, try to get you a lineman. You need linebackers right now. Try to get you a linebacker. I think it was easier for them to do the trade at this point because they've been playing for a few weeks without Jalen Ramsey. So, you know, it was easy on the back end for them to transition without him. But you need some more pieces. You know, it's not like you're a 5-1 team at this point. You need some more pieces. And I think that, you know, maybe they got shorted.
Well, here's where I'm going to disagree with you. I think that they did get enough in, you know, the trades. You know, they got two first rounds, one in 2020 and one in 2021. And they also got a fourth rounder in 2021. Now, I do agree that they do need a lineman, but there was no lineman that they were going to be able to pick up or trade for that was going to add value right now. And which team was going to give up a lineman for a fourth-round pick? Nothing. You know, it would complicate the trade that much more. So you want to offload him and try and get the best deal that you got. And I think they got a great deal for him. Could they have got more? Of course. You could always get more. But for what they were doing in offloading him immediately and getting immediate trade value, I think it was the perfect deal. The Rams actually won on this. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they kind of took a loss. Like you said, they could have added a player, but with the state of the league and the amount of injuries going on, nobody can trade a lineman really, especially with the way some of these teams are playing. Linemen are key right now. Look at the quarterback injuries. How could you trade a lineman with all the injuries, you know, to these quarterbacks? Unless you have a surplus somewhere, which I don't see it. You weren't going to get one. So that was the best possible trade that they were going to get right now. Now, with that fourth-round pick that they're getting in 2022, you can go out and get a lineman. You could also, you know, use your first-rounder in 2022 to get a top lineman, too, all depending on where you are in the draft and, you know, such and such. But I don't think they would have got more than what they got. I think if they tried to go out and get a lineman, they would have lost because any kind of top lineman that they would have asked for right now would have kind of negated that second first-round pick. So, and all in all, I think, you know, the Rams got, you know, they stole this one. They got a win. And Jalen Ramsey, he's not three first-round picks. There's no way you're going to get three first-round picks from him. So the two first-round picks and the fourth-round pick is perfect for offloading him off the rip.
You think Jalen Ramsey is worth a fourth-round pick? At least a second. I think that the fourth-round pick is kind of insulting because there's only maybe one cornerback that I'll put on top of him right now in the league this season. That's Stephon Gilmore.
Okay,
that's it. So there's no other cornerback on that level right now.
Here's the thing. If you're a team right now, you're going to give up a first round and a second round pick in the same year?
It doesn't have to be the same year. It could be a later year.
Okay. Okay. So
see,
now,
that's the thing. That's the thing with. Oh, so okay. That's so the here's, thing here's, with moving here's, draft picks. It doesn't have to draft be consecutive picks,
it
years.
It becomes complicated because the second round is where some of the top. If you're looking for a lineman, you don't want to give up your second round pick. That's where you can get a lineman. So if Jacksonville needs a lineman, you're not going to give up a second round pick. Your first round pick is going to be either your offensive or defensive weapon, and then or unless you're going to get a lineman in the first round, and then you get a lineman in the second round. That's where you're going to get your opportunity to get your tackles and your guards if you have a top pick inside. Jacksonville, say they're even in the mid first round. If you're going for a lineman, you're going to go even in the second round. That's where you want to be. A fourth round pick is going to be designated as as need filler. When you start to want to fill your roster. So for them to get a first round and a fourth round in the same draft is perfect. Now you're thinking you got two first round picks, you got two fourth round picks. What you just came up in the draft. That's a win. That's a steal. Now on Jacksonville's side, hey, they had to do what they got to do as far as offloading them. You get them off the books. That's all I gotta say about that. Do I think that he's worth a second round pick? Absolutely. But because of the situation that Jacksonville is in right now and trying to get him off the books, that's all they could play.
I mean, I definitely understand that. I just think it, as a premier player, I want more. If it was the other way around and let's say the Rams traded Aaron Donald, you would want the house and all the other assets. So, I think that unfortunately, like you said, it was a situation where they had to get him off the books. They had to get him out of there. If they maybe waited any longer, they probably wouldn't get what they got. But I think that, at the time of when he requested the trade, that's why he sort of kind of had to be aggressive as a general manager in the front office. Because you don't want to wait too long because you're going to lose. And that's what happened here. That, they waited too long.
You already know. You've seen it with the Giants. How many trades did the Giants pick up when Tom Coughlin was a coach?
How many
notable trades did we have?
You can't wait.
They did burn that bridge and waiting too long because he did request a trade. Was it week one or week two?
It was like week two or week three, something like that.
Yeah, so, if they had 3 weeks to really engage and think about this, but they took too long.
It took way too long. But let's head to Thursday night. It was a weird night. Injuries have sort of kind of just been all over the place for the NFL, and top quarterbacks have been going down all season, and boom, another one. Pat Mahomes goes down, knee injury.
Down goes Frazier.
It's gonna change some things in the AFC as a whole. But they still competed. The defense played great against the Broncos. Joe Flacco, played poorly. The Chiefs, they did what they did. Tyreek Hill still had a good game. They tried to run the football efficiently. They did what they did. They're not really a dominant running football team. But they were able to come out on top and still win the game. As far as the injury to Pat Mahomes, it's a dislocated patella, is what they're saying it is. He can miss a few games, best case maybe 3 weeks. But where do you think that puts the Chiefs right now?
I think it puts the Chiefs in a bind. I do think, with Moore coming in, they have a sustainable replacement in that he does have some experience. Now, it's not, first of all, you can't replace Pat Mahomes. Let's just put that out there. You can't replace Pat Mahomes. That's generational talent that you cannot replace. But you do have a sustainable replacement that can go in and make some things happen. Now, his game on Thursday, stepping in, was not terrible. 9 for 16, he had a TD, and he did what he was supposed to do, and that was just carry the team to the end of the game. Now, the defense they stepped up big time. Big time. Six sacks in the first half. They had a fumble recovery for a TD, and this is the defense that we needed, that the Chiefs needed to put out there on the field. This is the product that they needed the first several weeks. You know, they were giving up almost, you know, 30 points in several games. Now, if they continue to play like this defensively, then, you know, it gives their offense the ability to recover while, you know, Pat Mahomes is out. They're saying he's going to be out about three games. It could be more. I think they need to be due diligent with this. Last week, I did say that that leg injury was going to be a problem. I said it. I didn't want to jinx it, and it happened. That ankle injury has been an issue for him the last couple games. You can see he was favoring, especially it's a high ankle sprain. Now, the call to go, you know, the quarterback sneak, to be honest, it's a great call. It's a great call for that situation, that play. Now, as Andy Reid, is it a great call for your franchise player, knowing with the injury that he has? At that point in time, you're not thinking about that. You're not thinking about the injury. People say, you know, Andy Reid, you know, is an idiot. He shouldn't have made that call, knowing that he had the ankle injury. That play has such a high success rate and such a low percentage for injuries. It's just a freak play that happened at that time. You know, how many times have you seen Tom Brady go for it on such, you know, fourth and one or fourth and inches? Same thing with Eli or even Aaron Rodgers. Like, that's such a high percentage play that it was a no-brainer. It just sucks that, you know, Pat Mahomes is not going to be able to play the next couple of games. It does put the Chiefs in a bind, because guess what? Guess who they're playing next week? Green Bay. Green Bay's defense is stepping up. So with him being out and Green Bay's defense playing hot right now, Kansas City, they got a lot of work to do. They got a lot of film to study. They're going against Aaron Rodgers. If they can do what they did to Joe Flacco next week in Green Bay, they are going to have some success. But I'm not going to say that it's going to completely absolve them of, you know, the issue of Pat Mahomes not being there, but it will help them play better. It will also help them put Aaron Rodgers on notice that, hey, we're here. Just because Pat Mahomes isn't playing doesn't mean that all hope is all lost.
You know, I told you from the rest of the season, when it comes to the Packers, all I'm going to say is Aaron Rodgers. I ain't going to talk more about the Packers. Aaron Rodgers.
They're not at home, though. They're not Aaron, at home. They're playing at, Kansas City. Rodgers.
Well, going back to the Chiefs, I think now is the time, you know, for them to make a move on defense. You know, with Jalen Ramsey off the board now, mm-hmm. that's one dom. The rest of the dominoes are going to start falling in terms of trades. I think one potential player that can help them in the back end, somebody like Janoris Jenkins. You know, he's an older guy on the Giants, and, you know, he still has talent. We've seen the last few weeks. He's had, what, three interceptions the last two games. So, you know, it's something that he still has talent, and he's an aggressive player. He has familiarity with the system, with the defensive coordinator, Steve Spagnuolo. So it's something that he, you know, somewhere that he could fit right in. So he's definitely a target I think that they should go after. You know, he's kind of played poorly a little bit this season, but maybe a change of scenery could help him, is Josh Norman. You know, he's a guy that you can get a low-end draft pick for, and, you know, he gets a new change of scenery somewhere where it's competitive. He may be able to step up and play a little bit better there. So, you know, those are all different scenarios as to moves that they can make to upgrade their secondary. Other notable, you know, trades that, you know, are you know, potential for this next, you know, couple of weeks. You look at the Broncos on the other side of Thursday night's game. They got guys like Emmanuel Sanders, who's, you know, worth at least a fourth or fifth round pick that you could offload to, let's say, a New England or Green Bay contender that's looking for a receiver, you know, somewhere like a Philadelphia, you know. So that's a possibility. Even guys like Von Miller that you can offset, you know, for a second or even a first round pick for a guy like Von Miller, who's still a premier pass rusher. So, you know, there are options, you know,
So,
for trades.
Do you think that the Broncos should just throw it up and start with a rebuild? Because to be honest, I think it's about
I mean
time.
They're already at that point. I think that you know they kind of tried to just, you know, plug the holes up and do a quick fix, but sometimes you have to just sometimes you have to just, you know, start all over. And I think that that's where John Elway is headed with this team. I think that at this point, you still want the team to be competitive, but they got guys and veterans. You know, another guy, Chris Harris, who I didn't mention, who's a top corner as well, man. He, over the last 5 years, man, that guy has been, you know, amazing, a premier cornerback in the league. So, you know, he's another guy that, you know, a cornerback needy team can go after and get, you know, if the price is right. So it's definitely a couple of trades that are out there that are still possible for teams that need them. You know, you look at linemen. We talked about the Jacksonville Jaguars needed a lineman earlier. Even the Rams need a lineman. You look at a guy like Trent Williams, who hasn't played all season. He wants out in Washington, so
still healthy,
exactly, he wants
couch.
Out in Washington, so maybe if somebody approaches the Redskins with the right deal, something that they think can help them, they make that move, and they let, you know, a premier lineman go somewhere where he can help them win. So there are definitely a lot of things to talk about in terms of trades.
Now, with a guy like Trent Williams, right, just real quick, what kind of value do you think that you can get for him right now in the season? Like, in the beginning of the season, I could understand you want the whole works. You want everything. Now, if you're a team like you said, Jacksonville, or even like a team like the Chiefs, who need a lineman, what kind of value do you think that you could get? So what kind of value do you think that you could ask for Trent Williams, especially at this time in the
season? You know, it's the same situation, man. It's too late. So, you know, they waited too long already. Now it's time, you know, to get what you can get. And at this point, I don't see anything more than except for maybe 2 second-rounders, maybe a second and a third rounder. You know, I don't think he's getting a first. Yeah, I don't think he's going to get a first rounder at this point. I think it's too late.
Yeah, we got some other notable trades that, to be honest, I think that need to happen. Kenyon Drake, Miami needs to get some value for him. They've already tanked the season. I think that Miami should be able to push, give him up. Just give him up. You can get some good value for him right now. You could definitely get at least a second round and a third rounder. But I don't think that holding on to him does you any favors. Putting him at risk to possibly get injured over a season that's lost. Also, another one, Keenan Allen, a top veteran receiver in a city that's been sinking. Unless they could do a quick turnaround, I think you offload him. You get him to a team. You could get him to the Patriots. The Patriots need a veteran wide receiver, especially with the injuries. Edelman is still battling with the chest injury. Gordon not being there, you need a guy that Tom Brady needs a guy that's going to be consistent. Yeah, you have those young guys who just stepped up last week, but you still need a veteran receiver out there. And I think that Keenan Allen, with his consistency and him being healthy, he could also help the team. Another one, Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton is a franchise quarterback, but Carolina can offload him. To be honest, I see it in Kyle Allen. Kyle Allen has proven his worth in the last 4 games, undefeated ever since he came in. He can do the job. Cam Newton not being there and his inconsistencies in his health, I think you give Cam Newton off the rest of the season and you offload him. Let him get back to 100%. 100%. He coming off a shoulder surgery. Now he's coming off, you know, he's got the ankle. Let him, don't be that team to try and rush him back on the field when you have something in place that's working really well. You can offer, hey, we were talking about the Broncos. The Broncos are trying to rebuild. You can rebuild around Cam Newton. You need a quarterback that's going to be able to run that offense. Joe Flacco can't run that offense. The only thing Joe Flacco is doing is running himself into the ground. You could also, hey, you could even put him in Pittsburgh. If you put him behind a solid offensive line in Pittsburgh, that he fits perfectly there. So I think that's one of the trades that that needs to happen sooner or later.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Cam Newton, you know, with the way Kyle Allen's been playing and managing the game, and with Christian McCaffrey, they definitely have a good chemistry going on right now, and they're building on that. He's finding guys. He's you know, he's winning football games, and he's not turning the ball over. But here we are. This is why we do this, the picks of the week. Top five games.
Let's go.
First off, we got the Texans and the Colts. And, of course, the Texans 4-2, Colts 3-2. It's going to be a big game. If the Colts win, they're on top of the division. If the Texans win, they keep their place. Mm-hmm. They stay on top. It's going to be a tight game. I think that the Colts are starting to get familiar with each other. Brissett is starting to get a little bit comfortable. And this is a game that I think that they kind of, you know, come up and step up. They're at home. The crowd is going to be loud. You never know. Andrew Luck might pop up and give them the juice that they need, you know, as a fan. So, you know, I think that this is a game that the Colts come out on top. I really like the Texans. I think the Texans have been balling out. They've been playing well all season, but I think the Colts are going to come out on top. It's going to be a tight game, 24-21 Colts.
Okay. You know, when I first looked at this game, I was like, I didn't think it was going to be a top game of the week. But when we had talked about it and I really got into the nitty-gritty details, this is going to be a great game because both of these teams have defeated the Chiefs. Failed to even cross my mind. You got the Texans with Deshaun Watson, gunslinger, and then you got Jacoby Brissett that's been doing a great job in the Colts Nation. The only thing is that the Colts have been doing a great job with clock management. The Colts have been running the ball effectively, eating up the clock. If they can continue to do that against the Texans defense, I don't think the Texans can stand a chance. If they're gonna hold the ball for 32-34 minutes the whole game effectively and be able to produce and score in the red zone, this is gonna give them the best opportunity to win, especially with the run game that they have. It is going to be a great game, and I agree with you. I see the Texans at 24. But I do see the Colts winning this, so I got a 24-28 Colts.
All right. Another division game, the Vikings and the Lions. The Lions are a few calls away from being undefeated. That's how good they've been playing. You know, they are playing well. They're up to the task defensively. They can score the ball, and they're coming up against a hot Vikings team. Kirk Cousins has been balling out the last few games. Last week it was Stephon Diggs. The week before that it was Adam Thielen. Dalvin Cook has been promising on the ground. They've been playing well, but I think they're going to go into Detroit and they are going to slow down. The reason being, I think that the Lions are extremely hot. From last week, it's, you know, not something that they've forgotten, and they're going to put it out on the Vikings. I think that they're going to play a great game. I think they're actually going to blow this one out, and I have the Lions winning 34-17.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I do have the Lions coming on top, but I do not think it's going to be a high-scoring game. Well, that much of a high-scoring game. I have the Lions coming out on top, 24-17. I think Kirk Cousins is still going to be able to produce, but I don't think they're going to be able to get past that Lions D, especially in the running game. Their running game has been kind of spotty. Dalvin Cook, yes, he's been able to, you know, get the numbers, but the last couple games, it's been on and off. We need to see that consistency. We do also need to see Kirk Cousins continue to make that connection with his receivers, Diggs, Thielen, continue to make those plays and make those throws. But if he can't keep that going, it's going to be over. It's going to be over for them, and they're going to be back in the slump where they started. But the Lions are going to take 24-17.
Yep. And then, of course, on to the next game. Two birds, Ravens, Seahawks. I don't think the Seahawks are a real bird. Are Seahawks a real thing? I don't think so. It's like, it has to be fake.
I don't know.
Are Seahawks real?
I don't
think they're real, but...
They're real enough to play in the league.
I guess, but, you know, so the Seahawks and the Ravens in Seattle, that's going to be a big game. Earl Thomas is going to be back home, you know, the place he used to call home. You know, he's going against his former team, so he's definitely going to want to show out. You have the newly acquired Marcus Peters. He's going to be playing. So, you know, it's the Ravens secondary definitely needed a jolt. He was the perfect guy to put in there. I think he fits perfectly with the team. He's an aggressive guy. You know, he definitely knows how to play. And I think he's going to fit right in with the Ravens. The Seahawks, man, they're legit. I still think Russell Wilson is the MVP this season. And they're at home, one of the loudest stadiums in the league. And I think they're going to come out on top. They need to keep pace with the Niners, and I think they will. And I think they beat the Ravens 38-34.
Ooh. Yeah, I do have them coming out on top, but I had to score 32-24 Seahawks. I do think that the Ravens defense they're going to show up. They're not going to be something to play with. But with Russell Wilson, you never ever know. That man can extend anything. If it was possible, he would extend the time on the clock after the game is over. He could extend anything, any play at any time. He is that guy. I do think that their offense is getting a little bit of juice going, especially with the role that they're on. I would like to see some more DK Metcalf, but I have no doubt that the Seahawks are coming down on top of this.
Yep. And another game that's going to have a lot of meaning, especially for the future, you know, the playoffs and wild cards, etc. The Saints and the Bears. The Saints are 5-1, top in their division, going up against the Bears, who are 3-2, coming off a bye last week, and they need to keep pace with the Vikings and the Packers and compete with the Lions in their division. This is going to be a huge game for the Bears. Their defense is not playing as well as they were last year. You know, they're still competitive. They've still been, you know, getting to the quarterback and causing turnovers. But they just lost Akeem Hicks. He's on IR. So that's a big blow to their defensive line. And they're coming up against a hot Saints team. Teddy Bridgewater still undefeated as the starter. I think he walks into Soldier Field and keeps it going. I think Teddy Bridgewater and these guys are rolling. Even though he's not going to have Alvin Kamara and Jared Cook with him, I think that they still have enough to beat the Bears. And I think this is going to be a tight one. I think it's going to be another tight game for the Saints, and they're going to come out on top 17-14.
I agree with you on this one. I think the Saints are going to be able to keep it moving. They're hot right now. Teddy Bridgewater is just doing that. He's just a bridge over water, cruising. And I think that they're going to go into Soldier Field. They're going to take it, and they're not even going to blink or bat an eye. I think the offense is too explosive for the Bears to keep up with right now. even though the Bears have one of the top defenses. I think that London loss is going to mess with them. Mitch Trubisky coming back possibly. I don't have faith in Mr. Trubisky. I don't see him as a franchise quarterback. To be honest, I think that the Bears could have got someone else better than Mitch Trubisky in the draft. But hey, they picked who they pick. We're going to have to see. But I do have the Saints coming out on top on this one.
Yep. And then, of course, the final game, the biggest game, probably one of the games with the most meaning this week, the Eagles and the Cowboys, division rivals, two big foes, Eagles 3-3, Cowboys 3-3. Cowboys have been sliding. They've lost three in a row. You know, after a hot start, they're just falling quickly. But I think that they come out on top of this game. Just as bad as the Eagles have played, I think their secondary is beat up just a little bit much more than the Cowboys' secondary. And I think that that's going to affect them. I think that the Cowboys come out on top. They win this one 21-14. They're playing in Dallas. I think Zeke has a big game. I think he finally breaks out and has a huge game this season. You know, he's just been getting his legs under him, and I think he's going to break out and have a huge game, and I think he's going to lead the Cowboys to victory.
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. I think the Eagles are coming out. I think they're going to show out. Their offense is almost white hot right now. They've been doing real well. Even though they are 3-3, I do think Carson Wentz is going to be able to shake everything off like he always does. And I think he's going to be able to come out and shake up this Cowboys team again. The Cowboys have been inconsistent. They've been exposed without Amari Cooper and stopping the run game. They don't have that many more options in the passing game. Who else are they going to be able to rely on? Dak? Dak has been throwing interceptions left and right. I think Jerry Jones has been smart not to pay the man. I think Dak should have taken the deal when he had the chance. But, hey, that's neither here nor there. We're going to have to see if the Cowboys can use their cup and hold some water. But, if it is what I think is going to be, I think the Eagles are coming out on top. Alshon Jeffrey's going to have a big game. I think that Carson Wentz is going to have a big game. I think Jordan Howard is going to have a big game. So, let's see. I got the Eagles coming out on top on this one. I got the Eagles winning this, and the score is going to be 30-21.
All right. So, everybody, you already know, man. Let us know who you got for the top five games of the week. Send us your picks, call them in, and you already know. We had a fun time going at it, talking about the NFL. It's what we love to do, but we'll catch you guys next time.
We appreciate you listening as always. Remember, go to our Instagram, go to our Twitter, go to our blog, coverageseasonb.home.blog, and continue to post and continue to comment. We look forward to your questions, and we want to give you those answers. This is your boy D-Dubs and my guy, Easy Ali. We out.